Awesome. If you got your Bibles, turn with me the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. I don't know why, but I always rant on a Sunday night. And anyway, Genesis chapter, I apologize for that. Genesis chapter 1, sort of, verses 20 to 23. Genesis 1, verses 20 to 23 says this. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I just ask and pray that you would help us to see you as you are and see your character and nature. I thank you and praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you would know that at night I've been doing a series called Seven Sermons About God and looking at the 7 days of creation and looking at different facets about God's character across those 7 days. And today we're actually up to day 5. And in this passage of scripture, God essentially created the birds and he created the creatures of the sea. And within that, there are a couple of things there that can show us elements of God's character and elements of God's nature that will help us in our life right now. The first one is this. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "Then God said, 'Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures.'" Notice this, it doesn't say that he just put a couple of living creatures in there. It said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures." The first thing about God tonight is, number one, that God is an abundant provider. He hasn't even created man yet. Man isn't created until tomorrow, but he's already created an abundance of provision for him. He hasn't created a bare minimum of provision. He's created an abundance of provision for him, and not only him, for the generations to come. Our God is a God of abundance. Sometimes we have an attitude or a mindset of scarcity, but you need to understand our God is an abundant God, and he is well able and well prepared to meet any need that we might encompass in life. That is why we should never, ever be intimidated when it comes to being in a position of lack. If you're ever in a position of lack, then you need to understand you know and serve a God who's an abundant provider. That there is no need that you have that is too big. There is no problem that is too hard. He is able to abundantly provide for every single one of us. Just because we can't see the provision doesn't mean it's not there. The Bible tells us here that there's plenty of fish in the sea. I love that passage of scripture where it talks about Jesus and he was actually needing to pay taxes. And they said to Jesus, Jesus, we need to pay taxes. And he goes, "Okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and throw a line." And they threw a line and he hooked a fish. And on the inside of the fish was a gold coin and he was able to pay all his taxes. Our God is an abundant provider. Not only is it in the realm of finances, but it's in other realms as well. I said that phrase on purpose, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Because before this meeting tonight, I felt God say that there's a couple of people here, and I don't know who it is, and don't have to elbow anybody, but I felt there was a couple of people here, and especially one girl and there's one guy, and I felt that you've recently been dumped or let go by a partner and that sort of thing. And you've thought, "Oh, well, it's over, it's finished," and that sort of thing. But I'm here to let you know there's plenty of fish in the sea. That we serve a God who is interested in our lives and he's also interested in our future. You know, the Bible says in Genesis that God created a woman for Adam and he made her out of his rib. He created her. The enemy will try and tell you and say, "Well, there's no good Christian men or there's no good Christian women in the world." Well, I'm here to let you know, if he can make something out of nothing for Adam, he can find somebody for you as well. Because he is absolutely an abundant provider. You might be here and you might be saying, "Well, I'm getting close to 30 and it's too late for me." I'm here to let you know that we serve a God who's an abundant provider and there's plenty of fish in the sea. Maybe you're here and you're on the other side of 30 and you're thinking, "Well, it's too late for me." Well, I'm Ash, you're married. Why'd you put your hand up? My goodness. And you'll be thinking, oh, well, I can't see, is there ever going to be anybody for me? I'm here to let you know we serve a God who's an abundant provider, and that you can be someone who can believe God for someone who is godly, who is a Christian, who loves the Lord and is a perfect match for you. I love the story about this couple that I know, and he was actually a pastor at a church over in Perth, and he was a business manager of that church. And he was, in his 30s, and he felt God call him to go over to Kuala Lumpur and actually start a church over in Malaysia. So he went and started a church in Malaysia, and he was there, and he was getting very lonely. And now that he's a senior pastor, he felt like it was completely inappropriate for him to be dating women in his church. And he's actually a very good friend of Paul Gearling, who spoke at our men's summit yesterday. And he was talking to Paul, and he said, look, I think this is it. I think I'm going to be single the rest of my life. I can't just go around dating different women in my church. And he thought, maybe this is it for me. He was raised in Australia, but he's actually of Indian heritage. So he was an Asian raised in Australia. At the same time, there was a young lady who was living in Brisbane. She was the assistant pastor at her parents' church. And she was somebody that, she was an attractive girl, but she'd never actually had a boyfriend. And she'd been on dates and that sort of thing, and nothing just seemed to work out for her when it came to relationships. And so people would say to her, hey, you're being too fussy, and what about this guy? What about that guy? Clock's ticking, don't be too late, and that sort of thing. And she's like, oh, well, I just didn't sense anything there. And she was just thinking, oh, well, maybe I'm called to be single the rest of my life. I can't see any of a suitable Christian men right now, and that sort of thing. In the meantime, she actually went on a missions trip over to Malaysia. She was actually a missionary kid. She was raised in the Philippines, but she's of Anglo-Australian origin. And so she was an Aussie raised in Asia. And so she goes over on this missions trip. It was actually a Planet Shakers missions trip to Kuala Lumpur. And she was taking a team that was going to be, serving at a Planet Shakers conference over there. Emceeing the meeting is this other guy I was talking about. His name is Mark. And so she just arrives with the kids and is told that they're going to introduce you on stage in just a moment. So she's waiting off side of stage. And he's on the front and he's told, why don't you introduce the girl, the team leader from Australia, and introduce her to the people. And he heard her name was Pastor Jemima. And he said, hey, everyone, I want to introduce to you the team leader from Australia. Her name is Pastor Jemima. Pastor Jemima, why don't you come out here? They're both in their 30s. She comes out, grabs the microphone, looks at him, bing! And she's like, oh. She gets up and speaks. Mark, typical bloke, doesn't remember the incident. Then afterwards, she gets off stage and then later on at the end of the missions trip, they're on the bus and she thought to herself, that Pastor Mark, he's kind of nice. And then she made the mistake of telling one of the other girls on the bus, and then all of a sudden, the whole bus found out. And then the bus is going to the airport. Pastor Mark drives up to the bus and he gets on and says, hey guys, thank you so much for coming on this missions trip, really appreciate it. And saw Pastor Jemima with the kids on it. She says, hey, Pastor Jemima, why don't you come in my car and I'll take you to the airport. As she does, she goes, okay. So she walks off. She starts walking up. As she does that, all the other kids are like, ooh. And she's like, shut up. And she goes off and she heads up and she's in the car and they're driving. And as they're talking, he's like, she's nice, pretty too. Hey, Pastor Jemima, would you be interested in giving me your number? Here it is. Gives her number. They start contacting each other. Then he goes and visits her in Australia. She comes back and visits him in KL. Before you knew it, they realized that they were mature people and they realized that there was a connection there. And then they got engaged. Then they got married. And she went over to Malaysia, to KL, and helped pastor that church. And in the meantime, his old church, which was in Perth, they were looking for a pastor. And they asked him if he would take over the church. And he said, I'll take over it if I can still take over this, keep my church in KL. And so they did. And it was one of the first Australian churches that had a site over in the overseas as well. And so they took over this church. And so they had a church in Australia and a church in Asia run by a pastor who was of Asian descent, raised in Australia, and a lady who was an Australian raised in Asia, and now that church is called Kingdom City Church. It's one of the largest churches in Australia. It's got 8,000 people in Perth, 25,000 people around the world, and I'm here to let you know there's plenty of fish in the sea. And I don't know who I'm here to encourage. And I know that I know a lot of you are married or, you know, got relationships and that sort of thing. But I don't know, God has sent me here tonight to tell somebody here, you haven't missed the boat. There are plenty of fish in the sea. We serve a God of abundant provision. Amen. And just because you can't see him in this room doesn't mean God hasn't got someone for you. Thank you. Yeah. That's why you need to come to Planet Shakers. I'll hook you up. the second thing is this. It says in verse 22, after he's created all this, and it says, and God blessed them. He blessed them. He created these animals, and he blessed them. They didn't do anything to get that blessing. They didn't perform or do the right thing to get the blessing of God. They did nothing. But he always blesses what he creates. That's why his blessing is on you. You are a new creation. Through Christ, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works for him. And so because of that, the blessing of God is upon you. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, and you've heard me say this a number of times over the last 15 months. Galatians 3, 13 to 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus, the blessing of God is upon you. So the second thing about God is he's an easy blesser. It's not like we have to cajole him or beg him or cut ourselves to try and get his blessing. That he's an easy blesser. If he's willing to bless the fish and the birds who did nothing to earn it, surely he will do it for us as well. That's why we need to have an attitude that we are pleasing to God and his blessing is upon us. Even if you cannot see it, you need to understand you are a carrier of the blessing of God. I'm not a big fan of over-religiosity where somehow we have to beg and plead for his mercy and his blessing. That's already happened through Christ Jesus. And because of that, his blessing is upon us. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 133 that when he gives a blessing, he does more than give it. He commands it. That he commands his blessing forevermore. And he has commanded his blessing upon each and every one of us. In fact, it's hard to get out from under his blessing. The Bible says an undeserved curse cannot come to rest. So what that means is this, it doesn't matter who hates you. It doesn't matter who talks bad about you. It doesn't matter who tries to do things against you. An undeserved curse cannot come to rest upon your life. Because of Christ Jesus, you are a carrier of the blessing of God. That is why we need to have an attitude of hope. Hope is an attitude where we have an expectation of good things coming into our life. That we should just expect that. There's been times I've talked to people, and I was talking to someone recently, and they're mature in their faith. They've been a Christian many, many years, but I think they were raised up in some kind of religiosity, but somehow they had to beg and plead God for his blessing. And they were praying for healing and believing God for it, but they were kind of like, you know, I'm just begging God, and I'm just, you know, I want to know what I've done wrong. That, you know, that I'm trying to beg and plead with him. And I said, listen, that's not how it works. He's an easy blesser. And his blessing is towards us and for us. The Bible says he daily loads us with benefits. You can believe for God to release blessings upon your life wherever you go. He daily loads us with benefits. That is the nature of the God that we serve. That is the nature of your heavenly Father. He is an easy blesser. So our attitude and our posture towards him should be one of expectation, should be one of hope and a positive attitude, should be one where we just believe good things are going to come into our lives. Why? Not because we deserve it and not because we've earned it, but he is willing to bless his creation. And we are a new creation created by God through Christ Jesus. And so we need to have that attitude of expectation that I'm blessed. Maybe you've come from a past that was very difficult. Maybe you've come from a past where you've had a lot of bad things happen. I'm here to let you know that when you come in Christ, you are attracting the blessing of God. The Bible says of Proverbs that the blessing of the Lord attracts wealth and he adds no sorrow to it. He has got blessing that he wants to attract, that he is attracting and sending forth towards you. He is an easy blesser. It's not like we have to plead and cajole God to somehow bless us. And he's not a manipulative God where he will say, well, I won't give it to you unless you do this and that. He is an easy blesser, and that's in his nature. If he is willing to bless fish and birds that have done nothing, then how much more is he willing to bless us? We serve a God who's an easy blesser. That's why some of us might need to change our posture. Some of us might need to change our demeanor. Some of us might need to change our attitude and understand that we are living and we are attracting and we're carrying the blessing of God. The third thing about the Lord and the third thing about him says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, says, and God blessed them, and this is what he blessed them with, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. Multiply on the earth. The third thing about God is he expects fruitfulness. He actually expects fruitfulness. He expects fruitfulness even more than just faithfulness. Sometimes we think that faithfulness is just, you know, I'm just holding my position and I'm just being faithful. But actually, if you look at the scripture, faithfulness is more than just being, you know, endurance. Faithfulness is actually fruitfulness. You've heard me tell you the story about the master which had gave his servants some coins and he gave them different amounts. And then he gave one servant 5 coins and the servant went away and he got 5 more. And he said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. So faithfulness actually equals fruitfulness. That wherever God puts us, he expects us to increase and enlarge. That's why, and that's the same with his kingdom. That's why he says, the scripture says that as a kingdom, we're salt and we're light. As salt, we are actually affecting everything that we touch. We are not affected by the world, but we affect the world. Whatever we touch, we affect. Not only that, it's also hidden in the parable of the mustard seed. You may have heard the story about the mustard seed and how, you know, faith is like a mustard seed and mustard seed becomes this massive tree. But have you ever seen a mustard seed tree? It's actually not a tree. I remember thinking, oh, it's like a sycamore tree or it's like this great big, oak tree or something like that. That's not a mustard tree. A mustard tree is actually a weed. And it doesn't go up like this. It spreads like this. And God said his kingdom is like a mustard seed and faith is like a mustard seed. What does it mean? We spread and we increase and we enlarge and we take over. That's what God's desire for his kingdom is. And so what that means is he is believing and expecting fruitfulness from us. That is why if you're in a situation where it feels like you can't be fruitful or it feels like everything is against you and stopping you from being fruitful, I'm here to let you know that it's not. Because his blessing is upon us and he's expecting multiplication and fruitfulness from every single one of us. That's always been my attitude in ministry. My attitude in ministry and everything that we've done is we take whatever God has given us, whatever that ministry is, and we don't just hoard it and we don't just hide it and just protect it. God actually wants us to take it and then start spreading and start increasing and start enlarging. That's why we're going to start a new campus over in Logan. Because God hasn't called us here to just have this light and hide it under a bowl or keep it to ourselves. God wants Kings to be like a noxious weed that can't be stopped. And that we are just increasing and stretching and moving forward and enlarging. And that's God's heart and that's God's nature. Sometimes our attitude could be one of hoarding, that we just want to keep and protect and look after what we have. But the Bible says in Proverbs that people curse those who hoard grain. That actually God doesn't want us to be hoarders of the and steward and hoarders of the things of God. God actually wants us to be people who multiply and are fruitful. That is why even for some of you in business or whatever you're in, and I know we have a lot of people in education, God wants you to take what he's given you right now, and he's with you and upon you to increase it and enlarge it and to make it better. Even if you're only a steward of it for a season, whilst you're carrying it for that season, God wants you to take that and increase and enlarge it. For those of you that are teachers here, and you might have students that are with you and saying, man, look what I've been left with this student. I'm here to let you know God's grace is towards you, that you can take that student and you can do and you can help lead and guide them and leave them better than when they first came to you. Why? Because God has called us to multiply, increase, and expand and be fruitful. That's his expectation. That's why I don't like the phrase occupy that much. Amen. Because God hasn't just called us to occupy and be on the back foot. God has actually called us to advance, to move forward, to multiply, to be fruitful and to take forward and to go forward and to take charge and to keep moving forward. That's what God's called for all of us. And that's God's call, and God's called that for your life as well. There are some people here and you've been thinking about whatever it is, whether it be your business or whatever the situation you're in right now. I've got this thing. What do I do with it? I've been thinking about enlarging it and increasing it. And the enemy has come to you and tried to intimidate you and show you all the reasons God has given you. Just like that servant who had one coin and all he did was take it and hide it in a handkerchief and bury it in the ground. He was intimidated by the fact he didn't have much and thought just by protecting it and holding on to it, that would be enough for God. But the Bible says that when he brought it to the master said to him, you bad and wicked servant, why didn't you at least put it in the bank and get interest for it? I didn't give you that coin just to protect it. I gave you that coin to increase it, to multiply it and make it more fruitful. But he was intimidated from doing that because he thought what he had wasn't much or he was unable to do it. But I'm here to let you know God is with you, he's on your side, and there is multiplication and fruitfulness upon every single life in this place. God wants to take you from where you are to increase, to advance, and move forward. He has not called us to occupy, to sit back and wait for him to return. He's called us to multiply, be fruitful, onwards and upwards in the things of God. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 15, the way of life winds upward for the wise. It doesn't say we just go around in circles. That's not God's plan for our life, to go around in circles, keep going around that mountain. That is not God's plan. It said his plan is for us, the way of life winds upwards. So that tells me there are some twists and turns. There are some things that we cannot see around the corner. We get some surprises. But in the midst of the twists and turns, the end result is God has called us to wind upwards. And for some people here, you feel like I'm going around in circles. All I'm here to let you know, believe God, that God is believing for multiplication and fruitfulness, that what he's given you, you're not just going to go around in circles, that you're just going to wind upwards in the things of God. Amen? That is the God that we serve. We are not a defeated community waiting for Jesus to rescue us. He's already rescued us, and now he wants us to multiply and be fruitful. That's his plan for our lives. And there's some people here, and some of what I've said, and team, you can come on up. But for some people here, some of what I've said has been where you're at right now. I know I was joking about it, but I really feel there are some people here discouraged about the fact that they're single. And they're thinking, oh, well, you know, I've missed the boat. But I really felt very clearly, and this wasn't in my preparation during this week, it was just before getting up here tonight, that God wants you to know there's plenty of fish in the sea. Don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. I know myself when I was single and I found it so difficult. I was completely consumed by it. And that's all I could think of. And I'm here to let you know that for those of you that are feeling that way, you can just trust God, put it in his hands. There's plenty of fish in the sea. You don't have to worry about it. But also too, maybe there's some people here and your posture and your attitude to him has not been one of expecting blessing, but your attitude's been to him like somehow trying to beg or plead for blessing. And I'm here to let you know you don't need to be like that either. And maybe you're here and God has given you, you're stewarding something and you're thinking, man, what can I do with this? If I just protect it, that'll be enough. But tonight, God's provoked you to try and believe for it to multiply, to enlarge and expand. And so if that's you, in just a moment, I'm just going to pray for you in your seat and then let you go to the promenade and have some